holiday crisis is imminent as retailers face bankruptcy as Black Friday sales disappoint. All that and more on today's show. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today when we're covering a topic that few people are talking about today, but in the coming months, as we go into next year, this is going to be a hot topic on the front page of newspapers because retailers are in big, big trouble. They're facing a twofold problem. One, they can't get enough inventory on their shelves to sell, because the belief has been that if you have the inventory, consumers are just desperate to buy whatever you have. And then what do we find out over the weekend as Black Friday sales come through? They're disappointing as spenders, as consumers, stay home and spend less than they did before, which is threatening to increase an already rising number of bankruptcies that are just going to cascade through the retail space, as small business owners are in deep trouble if they don't have a strong holiday season. Let's pick this story up. And here you can see unhappy holidays ahead as Coupa study finds supply chain crisis leaves retailers pessimistic. Now remember, we've looked at the sentiment data from small businesses and retailers, and it was up. There's relatively high as they're hoping for a strong holiday season, and now that's starting to change. And remember, they hired up. They've been asking and begging for people to come to work. And you can see how this is going to unravel in the worst possible way for them. Retail supply chain nightmare before Christmas. How badly is the global crisis likely to derail retailers' prospects in the upcoming holiday season? Well, this study will do little to calm their nerves. Retailers in the US, UK, France, and Germany anticipate revenue losses between 5 and 20% over the past 18 months due to supply chain issues. More than half, 58%, estimate losses over 5%, while a quarter, 26%, says losses were likely to be greater than 10%, and things aren't likely to get much better over the next 18 months, with 90% of respondents downbeat in their expectations. Now, from a US perspective, you have to think about what's actually happening here. We have this fiscal cliff that's starting to form, and you're seeing now retailers starting to change their tune. And we'll look into the data as we get through today's show, and what we're going to understand is that consumers don't have as much money. And the timing of this is terrible for retailers, because a lot of retailers took advantage of the PPP program to get money to stay in business. And at the same time, the government front-loaded consumers with money who went out and spent it. And almost at the same time, the PPP loan program expired, as did all the fiscal transfers to consumers. Now, retailers are desperate for money to come in to keep their doors open, and consumers, as you'll see, well, they're tapped out. Let's continue on. The US and UK are likely to be the hardest hit, according to the study. No surprise, which pulled more than 600 retailers. The U.S. retailers report average losses of 5.7%. Again, keep in mind, they've been hiring people. They've got signs out, we want employees, so they're hiring for the holiday season, and they're already expecting losses of 5.7%, equating to $68 billion from its GDP across past 18 months, followed by the UK with 5.3%, equating to $5.6 billion from its GDP. Germany and France reported lower average losses of 5.3 and 4.8, respectively. But look at this. This is interesting from Kohl's. The inventory level at the end of quarter three is down 25% on a two-year basis. This inevitably presents challenges for the business amidst the CEO. Now, why would that be a problem? If consumers did show up, let's say they had money and they went to Kohl's, well, Kohl's isn't going to have the inventory. And Kohl's isn't an island. This is across many retailers are having inventory issues. They don't have the goods that people want to buy, or they don't have enough of them, which is going to lead to lower sales. Of course, the problem, well, it doesn't end there, because retailers are also facing another type of problem that's going to have a dent on their bottom line. And here you can see organized retail thefts continue over Thanksgiving weekend. A Best Buy in Minneapolis, its latest to be hit, as retailers seek federal legislation to make online sales of stolen goods more difficult. A string of organized retail thefts continued, with Best Buy being hit in a nationwide wave. Over the past 2 weeks, stores have been targeted by groups of people who smash windows, take merchandise, and often resell stolen goods online through fencing networks. Retailers across the country have seen spikes in crime, said a Best Buy company spokesman, who wouldn't confirm additional details about weekend theft. Now, this is obviously going to be an issue when you see people's incomes go down and consumer prices go up. Now, I'm not condoning this behavior. I just want you to understand that there's reasons this is happening. People cannot buy the things they want, so they're choosing to take them. And that's unfortunate because these businesses, these retailers, they can't handle a slowdown in sale plus theft on top of it. And it's not just limited to Best Buy either. There were similar burglaries for retail stores throughout the Bay Area, including a jewelry store in Hayward and a Lululemon in San Jose. In Walnut Creek, 25 miles from San Francisco, officials said dozens of people, some who were armed, broke into a Nordstrom store the week before Thanksgiving. Earlier this month, a group of individuals stole thousands of dollars of luxury merchandise from Louis Vuitton store at a shopping center near Chicago. And again, this is just adding more and more problems to retailers. And then you stack on Black Friday, which a lot of retailers were hoping for some big numbers. Well, it disappointed. Check this out. Black Friday brought shoppers back to stores as sales rose as people returned to brick and mortar locations. Data shows I'm tired of not going out. People want to go out, but well, they left their wallets at home. Retail Next affirmed the track shopper counts in thousands of stores with cameras and sensors. So store traffic rose 61% this Black Friday compared to last year, which is great, but was down 27% from 2019. And Sensormatic Solutions, another firm that tracks store traffic, said Black Friday traffic rose 48% last year, but remained 28% lower than 2019. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, that's because online retail sales were up. Well, not so much. The Thanksgiving holiday weekend was also the first time in years that online retail sales didn't increase from the prior year, according to some industry estimates. Online Black Friday sales fell to $8.9 billion from $9 billion last year. Now, granted, that's not a huge drop, but it actually still is a drop. According to Adobe Inc., while Thanksgiving Day online sales were roughly flat at $5.1 billion, the first time sales didn't increase since Adobe started tracking the figures in 2012. So across the board, we're starting to see where consumers have less money. And well, this is just flowing over into durable goods. Check this data out from last week. Big ticket product orders fell for the second straight month amid supply constraints. October decline for items such as washers, computers, and cars comes as manufacturers face higher costs for inputs and labor shortages. Orders for long-lasting goods such as appliances, cars, and computers decreased for the second straight month in October as U.S. manufacturers continue to confront higher material and shipping costs as well as labor and part shortages. New orders for products meant to last at least 3 years decreased. That would be durable, 3 years, a minimum of 3 years, decreased 0.5% to a seasonally adjusted $260.1 billion in October when compared to September, the Commerce Department said on Wednesday. Orders decreased a revised 0.4% in September from the previous month, down from an earlier estimate that had shown a 0.3% decline. Demand for durable goods has increased in 15 of the past 18 months, following an April 2020 low point early in the pandemic. Deplenished business and retail inventories, which will challenge that narrative in a moment, plus strong consumer spending have translated to increased demand for manufacturers, but supply chain bottlenecks continue to constrain production and delay some shipments. But yet something that we've been tracking on this show is inventory levels. And lo and behold, well, we got that last week. And here you see retail inventories, excluding automobiles, continue to rise as it's been steadily increasing. But check this out, wholesale inventories. Now, you see this P stands for preliminary month over month, went from 1.4 the month before to 2.2%. So what we're seeing is even though the media is saying that inventory levels are going down, we're seeing just the opposite. Inventory levels are rising and consumers are saying, no, I don't want to pay these higher prices, and they have good reason to reject them. Now, if you're concerned about any of this on how it may impact your portfolio, well, be sure to check out Portfolio Shield, a unique strategy I created to hedge downside risk in markets without sacrificing your upside returns. Now, another piece of data we got last week is a U.S. goods trade balance. Let's check this out because it's suggesting the problem just isn't with sales. It's all across the board. And here you see the preliminary data for U.S. goods trade balance. This is the trade deficit. it fell is on a, again, preliminary basis from $97 billion to $83 billion. And what you see is the question you might want to ask, is this an issue of the dollar? Are we finally starting to see that perhaps a rising dollar is having a negative impact here? But in a sense, it doesn't make a lot of sense, because if the dollar is strengthening, then my dollars and your dollars, well, they should go further, and we should be spending more of them on foreign produced goods and services, and we should see the trade deficit actually widen, not shrink. So I want you to think about what's actually happening here is when the trade deficit shrinks, it means demand is shrinking as well. And I'm not quite sure it's a dollar story, but let's take a look at this chart here where I've got the US trade deficit. Now, it's not showing the preliminary data because the FRED database does not post that, but you can see that, but it has increased from here. And you'll notice that when the dollar tends to rise, the trade deficit shrinks. And you think that would be the exact opposite. So what the dollar is starting to tell us here is that perhaps it's not a currency issue that's going on. Perhaps it's an issue that consumers just don't have as much money. And sure enough, they don't. As we note, the real disposable personal income is negative on a year-over-year basis. And this is does not bode well for consumer spending. When consumers have less disposable income, they can buy less goods and services, and that starts to have effects all the way through the supply chain. So when we see the trade deficit shrink, it's telling us demand is shrinking too. And that, again, adds to the problem of retailers who are likely to face bankruptcy. And wait till you see the last slide that we've got for you. But let's keep going with the story, because consumers are telling us already that they're not willing to spend. And we have the University of Michigan data that came out on last week. We see the broad consumer sentiment in blue now below where it was at the pandemic. So consumers are less confident. Their current economic conditions in green are at the same level as they were in the pandemic. So consumers are not very confident about the economy, and their expectations about where the future is going now at the worst level below where it was in the pandemic. You have to go back to 2012 and 2013 to find levels where we saw future expectations being that bad. And that was coming out of a recession, almost a double dip, not a recession, but almost a double dip recession. And it doesn't end there, because you start asking, why are durable goods orders falling? And you can see here in gold, buying conditions for large durable goods, some of the worst in history. We're going back to data, going back to in the early 1980s, demand for durable goods is going down, and that starts to make sense of why the orders are falling. It makes perfect sense. How about vehicles? They're going down. Is this a story of there isn't enough vehicles to buy, or prices are too high? But how about homes? Even homes are falling. But you know what's really weird? Is that home data, well, doesn't make an entire lot of sense with what we just saw for October. And let me show you the inflation view data first, and then I'll show you the home data, because it doesn't make a lot of sense until I explain to you what's really going on. And here you can see the expected change in prices during the next year for inflation off the charts. Haven't seen this since 2008, before inflation expectations crashed. If you're looking for a signal that tells you the bond prices are low and going higher, this is a great countercyclical signal. And how about inflation over the next 5 to 10 years? Well, it's elevated, but it's telling you that consumers don't think inflation is going to last. So one argument is the reason consumers aren't buying is they think inflation is going to go away. But how about the home data? That's the one thing that, well, doesn't make any sense until it does. Check this out. U.S. pending home sales soar in October, this from today, as they rise 7.5% month over month, and you see year over year increasing to -4.7, so a slight improvement, but still down from a year ago. And why might that be? Why did we see such a big jump in pending home sales? And remember, if you're not sure what pending means, it's people that have entered a contract to buy or sell a home. Doesn't mean it's actually closed yet, because people think inflation is not going to stop in the short term. They know rent prices are increasing, and they want to lock in prices now, even though they admit it's a bad time to buy. Of course, you can only imagine what will happen when inflation rolls over and heads back lower, as it normally does when it shoots way up and home prices stagnate and people find out they overpaid for their house. But there is some good news in the data that might help retailers a little bit, but it could be too little too late. as the number of Americans filing for first-time jobless benefits was the lowest since 1969 last week. And here you can see on the unemployment data dropped to 199,000, although some may say, well, the not seasonally adjusted went up to 258,000. But hey, from the government's perspective, we hit 199,000, down 71,000 from the week before. And that is huge. It's telling us that employers are not laying people off as fast as they were. In fact, this is good. This is a healthy number that tells you that the labor market is strong. But how about this? Continued weeks for claims for all programs. What do we see? Down 752,000 to 2.4 million as the pandemic unemployment assistance and emergency assistance goes away. And that is part of the fiscal cliff that retailers are going to have a problem with as people have less money to spend. And that is one of the issues here, is that retailers and small businesses that rely on consumption and consumer spending are in a dire situation. And then you see the next slide where we look at bankruptcies on the way up. Well, it all will start to make sense, because the story going into next year isn't going to be one of economic recovery. It's going to be one of another recession, and bankruptcies will be forefront in the news. And here you can see this from Statista, who's sourcing Bloomberg. It says the most bankruptcies since the Great Recession, number of annual U.S. bankruptcy filings of companies with liabilities greater than $50 million. So this isn't just small mom and pops. Imagine what the number is going to be for them who are also struggling. But here you can see bankruptcy filings are on the way up, and you can only bet that this will follow down to the small and mid-sized businesses who are struggling to hang on and get cash, get consumers in the door, because they have hired up, they've raised prices, and now they need people to come and spend. And I don't think they're going to be there. And that story, as I said, will take precedence next year. Just wait and see. And with that, we'll wrap up today's show. I appreciate you being fans. Appreciate you watching. And with that, we'll see you back on Wednesday. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It's not intended to provide investment or other advice. This video is not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation to buy or sell any security investment product, or to participate in a particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.